T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
No thank you on the bitter winter day. In fact, if you want to text me, we're going to get into Madeira Arredondo and Bob Dole here. But if you want to text me what this first real day of winter, what do you think about it? I know some tubs, they love winter. And they think about time. This is great. This is why I live here all the seasons.
Right, yeah.
I don't live here for 15 below. I do live here. I live here because my family's here, and there are many, many great aspects of living in Minnesota. December 6th, 15 below wind chill, ain't one of them. I'm sorry. No thank you. 25... light wind, yeah, I can tolerate it. If you told me it was 70 every single day and I never saw winter again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I've seen enough winter. I've lived enough winter. And also, Chris, I've snowshoed. I've actually snowshoed the last few winters a few times. I'd like to do it more. But, like, I'm not a big skier. I don't like to put on, you know, the light layers and go running. I like to go outside when it's 75 and it's beautiful outside.
You are the avid indoorsman, then, is what you're saying. The avid winter indoorsman.
No, okay. I'm not.
Okay.
I will, no, because I'll still go for the walks and I'll still get outside. I need to be moving. Now, I'm a prolific house walker. So I don't know if you've got a condo, you've got a house, you've got an apartment. I am walking around the house all the time, especially after meals. I'm odd. I think it's good for your digestion, and I think it's good. So on a day like this, do I want to walk outside? Hell no.
I think that we've gotten lucky, you know, this winter for the most part to get to December 6th, and you know, feel like we've kind of like
fantastic.
Stealing.
Fantastic. Great.
Yeah. I do remember when I was living in Houston, a friend of mine who is from Boston, who now lives in Vegas. I'm like, man, I like this where I can go outside and it's, you know, 60 degrees and everybody else is bundled up and I'm out there in shorts and a T-shirt.
Yes. It's better.
But they said you don't have to shovel heat. And I will always remember that. And I feel like I've done it backwards. Like I went to the warm climate and then we came back up here. And I'm like,
yeah,
We did it backwards.
Yes. Well, there's still time. There is still time. No, now don't give me 110 either. But yeah, this is not. I'm not jonesing this. So if you tell me through text 651-461-9226, you think terrible, awful, fantastic when you walk outside today, and you know we got 4 more months of this. We got December. We got January. We got February. We got March. Come on.
The funny thing about the 70 degrees that you were just talking about, it reminded me of something that my wife said, that she was in the military in Monterey. And she said every day it was 70 degrees and sunshine. She's like, but it never changed. And it drove me nuts because I needed the changing of the season.
Stop.
Her words, not mine.
Yes. Yeah.
She's
Monterey.
Monterey,
maybe the most beautiful place in America, and 70 degrees. She didn't like it. Woo!
Yeah, I know. Well, she married me, so she hasn't really made the best decisions in her life. So we have to give her that.
Yeah, I thought I was cynical. Yeah. Okay, so Mandiri Arradondo leaves. He does not want another term. And there's some Todd Axtell in this, right? And when he says, and Laura played the soundbite, my family's playing an enormous part, I'm sure he's telling the truth. Is he telling us everything that came into this decision? No. Todd Axtell didn't either. A lot of people don't, right? It, as scrutinized, and in many ways for very valid reasons, that the Minneapolis Police Department has been, I think it's been fairly unique and a testament to Rondo as a human and his performance that even during the lowest moments, as he was rising up to chief, and then as chief, including the murder of George Floyd by a fellow officer, that scrutiny, sure, better come with scrutiny. Some criticism, yes. But unrelenting, inexcusable, he has to go, like what's happened with so many chiefs across this country when their police department was involved in criminal behavior, dangerous behavior, incompetence. At that highest level, he's escaped it. That's a testament to the human being. That is a testament to who he is as a person. It's not unanimous, but if you compare him to some of the scrutiny a number of other officers who led either Minneapolis or St. Paul the last 10, 20 years, he's probably received as much praise as any one of them. Axel's high on that list, though, too. So what happens? So let's start with, we just obviously had the enormous vote. The enormous vote on end the police department. And the police department, as we know it now, rebuild it in some manner. And there was confusion. There was evasiveness on what it was going to be. Some council members and others said, well, guess what? We're not allowed to lay out more of the details by the way the charter works. I think there was some truth to that. I think there was a lot of other truth that they didn't flesh it out enough. And there was too much uncertainty. And that uncertainty played an enormous part in it coming up short. But one of the calling cards, for sure, by Jacob Fry in particular, the mayor, we expect the mayor to join us tomorrow, and others, was we can stay within the construct, but we'll make the adaptations which are required that we've wanted to make, that we'll have more freedom to make. And guess what? Guess who we'll have? We'll have Rondo to lead us. They don't have Rondo. I don't know what role that might have played. Would that have caused some of the folks who were borderline on maybe wanting to end the police department as they knew it, but still believing in Rondo? But national search, interim, what does it mean in this area? Because he was so, like, I've said earlier today, I wish he'd come on more for one-on-one interviews. It's not just our show, it's others. But he was very visible in the cities. There is no doubt about it. I think another point that is going to be raised by some, how tough is it to get police officer right now either to sign up initially and to retain them? It is such a difficult job. And that doesn't mean by any means you don't have some within the department, because some of them are incompetent. just like some talk show hosts are incompetent, and doctors and everybody. That doesn't mean all, because we get these silly, phony generalizations in text. Oh, you're always criticizing the police. Individuals, as I say all the time, the overwhelming number of police officers are good to very good to brilliant at what they do. But to say we haven't had issues across this country with certain police officers, and it's not just a couple, by the way, or a level of systemic racism, because the data is clear on systemic racism. Crystal clear. Doesn't mean every single time. But you look at the first black chief. You look at someone who rose up. You now look at a police department where there are hundreds and hundreds below where they should be. And by the way, that's not even close to where Rondo said they should have been when he wanted 400 more over the period of years. I don't think in any point when he was saying that he was thinking, and in 2 years I'm leaving. Can't imagine the stress level the last couple of years.
It just seems like a situation that if you wanted that position, like you were talking about, Chad, the stress and the anxiety and the scrutiny. I mean, if you can't even get people that want to apply to be officers, I mean, you can't really do the job the way that you see if you don't even have the staff that are willing to even go through the proper training.
For sure. I mean, Minneapolis is, for me, and we can have debates on this, woefully understaffed. And many have left for very valid reasons of PTSD. Others have said, I just can't do it anymore. Others found other opportunities. Others don't believe in the direction of the department. There's a myriad of reasons. And now, Fry is going to have to find a sweet spot of some sort where he's going to have to find the next chief, male or female, because the previous chief was female, that is going to appease enough people. And at times, I think Jacob Fry has tried too hard to try to check every box and make everybody happy. He's putting together all these committees, including people who've run against him, to try to build this coalition back. He's not going to appease everybody in this one. It's not possible. It's not possible. So I think it'll be very interesting to watch who Fry brings in, and with that selection, who in the end he'll tick off. Because it's highly unlikely they're going to bring in somebody who is viewed as favorably as Rondo does, as Rondo still is, with so many people who have very different views on the department. I would think, just me, that there's a much, much better chance it's somebody within the department, that Fry wants to work with somebody who has an idea about the town, what has happened, and what needs to change, as opposed to somebody who's going to come in and needs a learning curve. Want to chime in through a text? You certainly can. 651-461-9226. And in the comments, you agree, you significantly disagree. All that is allowed and encouraged. 651-461-9226. Among the texts coming in on Rondo, I've always wondered why he escaped any responsibility for all the problems, lack of training for his people. He didn't escape all of it. But you had so many people within the department who believed in him. And as I said, there are many other cities where the police chief, when there were events significantly less dramatic than a murder by a police officer, where the chief of police took more criticism than Rondo did. They don't need a national search, hire a local and give support and resources. We have issues with every occupation, especially media personnel. Yeah, no doubt. You're allowed to disagree. You're allowed to think there's incompetence in all professions. With I would say everybody within that profession is incompetent. On the weather, because we talked about that early and got a bunch of texts on that too. Totally fine with freezing weather. Awful winter weather makes spring and summer better. No, it doesn't. It just doesn't. That's, I don't have to go through torture, Chris, to enjoy 75 or 80 degrees. I just don't.
Hey, no pain, no gain, right?
No, I'm fine. No? I'm fine with just a lot of gain.
a lot of gain, no pain.
Yes, yes. 2 weeks from now, the days start getting longer. Oh, goody. You know, get back to me when it's March, okay? Winter brings on ice fishing, baby. Jeez. Rather set my hair on fire.
I've never understood ice fishing. And for the record, like, I, you know, being from here, I've never understood ice fishing. I mean, I know what it is, but like, you're sitting outside with a hole and you got a, your line's in there. And I mean,
well, I don't know if you, I don't know if you know this, Chris, but I mastered fishing.
Really?
This summer went out the one time that I hit the water.
The one time.
Out of three. I caught a fish. I mastered it.
All right.
Yeah. Multiple people texting about app issues. What a shock. Odyssey. How is this possible, Odyssey, that you cannot have an app that has some level of competency? Some level. I have no idea. Bob Dole passes away yesterday at 98. Okay, people are going to think of him running against Fritz Mondale in 76. Running for the presidency, coming up short for the nomination in 80 and 88, and then getting crushed by Clinton. You know, if he ran against Clinton in 94, he would have crushed him. But Clinton and moving more towards the centrist Democrat that he was in Arkansas, triangulation, as he called it, working with the very classy Dick Morris. And Bob Dole came up short when he got shellacked. That was the summer where he said, I'm all in. He quit the Senate. He had been the majority leader for a long time. He brought in Jack Kemp because the further right had doubted him. It's ironic that they doubted him because early on, when Bob Dole arrived in Congress as a congressman, he was there so long, he voted against FDR, a number of his legendary social programs. And that Bob Dole was a bit of a flamethrower for the right side. Like, that Bob Dole would fit in more with the Republicans now, as opposed to the Bob Dole he became the next 20, 30 years. But he's still a damn proud Republican and believed in limited government, and he pushed back at universal health care a number of times. But he made deals. It was, again, he believed in don't let perfect be the enemy of good. He bumped heads with Gingrich a number of times when Gingrich was so recalcitrant with Bill Clinton. You go back to this man and his World War II injury, where he shot down, ends up in Italy, and he spent 39 months. I repeat, 39 months in hospitals and endured 8 surgeries. Twice had life-threatening infections. His temperature at one point reached 109 degrees, and he survived all of this. He was so central to politics decade after decade after decade. Known to have a pretty damn good temper, too, at times. But believed in this country and believed in advancing this country. For decades and decades of his life, it wasn't about it's either my way or nothing. And we see plenty of that, by the way, on both sides of the aisle. He also had a razor sharp wit. I stumbled into, Chris, you know, So many people did great impressions of Norm MacDonald the best, where he came out with Norm MacDonald, and it's just absolute gold. This country is lucky when we have individuals like Madere Arredondo and Bob Dole, and Bob Dole led an amazing life. So a tip of the cap to his wife, Elizabeth Dole, and anybody close in his circles, because we don't have enough Bob Doles right now. Served our country that way. Should have died how many times? And then decided to get involved, Chris, and never gave up his principles, but realized there's a way to also get things done with the other side, because you know what? They're not the enemies.
Yeah, and we need more people that believe in the bipartisanship. And, I mean, Bob Dole was an icon. You know, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I think a lot of people can agree that he was an icon, and you can't dispute that as one of the greatest political figures of all time.
And, by the way, wouldn't get elected today. Bob Dole he was.
How sad is that?
As somebody who is much more center-right than where politics is now, he wouldn't have a chance, and our country's worse because of it. Let's go to traffic, weather, and our guy Chip Scoggins on Newstalk 830 WCCO. All right, let's jump into it with our friend Chip Scoggins, the outstanding columnist for the Star Tribune. I want to get into the global part of yesterday's Vikings game and what it means in the long term in a little bit. But let's get to some of the details. Let's start with Zimmer, his defense. And, yes, he's without five guys. Okay. So five damn good players, too, in Hunter, Griffin, Barr, Kendricks, and Peterson. But he played very passively. He blitzed the fewest times. He blitzed all year. When he did blitz, you've probably seen this online by now, Jared Goff against Vikings blitzes yesterday. 1 of 8, 6 yards, 3 sacks. So when the game's on the line, Mr. Scoggins, I think they blitzed maybe twice on the final drive. And at the end, 4 straight plays, 3 guys rushing, everybody back in coverage. Does that make any sense to you?
No, the whole thing was baffling, Chad. And the last drive, my colleague Ben Gessling charted it. It was one pass rush, one blitz. They had 7 passes where they sent 4 guys, and the last 4 was 4. And Zim afterwards 3. Said he didn't do that because they were having trouble covering on the back end and wanted to put more guys back there. But you saw how Goff reacted to pressure.
Yes.
I mean, he was just going to get rid of the ball and be erratic. And so you're sitting there screaming at the TV as they're watching down. It's like, you know, even the announcers are saying, you have to bring some pressure here. I mean, 3 guys. And then the last play to see Cam Dantzler just kind of nonchalant backpedal.
Yes.
It was staggering how Zimmer played that entire drive. I couldn't fathom why he was not bringing pressure to get the ball out of Goff's hand.
I want to get back to Zimmer in a second, but I'm glad you brought up Dantzler. You have to have some awareness. I mean, I swear to God, if us, the two of us in our 50s, we would have an idea where the goal line is. I mean, I know he's young, but he's in his second year. He's been playing football how many years? You have to realize, guess what? When they catch the ball at this line to the next 10 yards, yeah, we lose. So don't keep backpedaling 3 more yards in the end zone where a guy can just stop. It was just such a simple play. It looked like a play you're practicing at TCO, now with what, not the final play of a game.
Yeah, it looked like a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Chad, he was 10 or 11 yards off and backpedaled just kind of like casually, and the receiver just runs down, turns around, and throws it. I mean, it's a simple pitching
yes.
catch. It was like, what was the play call there? I mean, Zimmer calls 2 timeouts in the last, 12 seconds, 10 seconds to get his defense set. I he said they were supposed to be playing off. I don't understand why you're playing off there. I mean, you know, you have your safety help there. The whole thing from rushing only 3 guys there to the way those defensive backs just kind of casually ran to the back of the end zone when the guy just waltzes into the end zone, catches it. It's mind-boggling. It's like the absolute perfect worst way you could possibly defend that play. And it was staggering. It just shows how disjointed or unprepared they look at in these critical end of half situations.
Yeah, I mean, the end of the half, 72 points by the opponents. Nobody's close to that. And there's about eight games now where when they lost, the team went down, final drive. Now, we got to point out, some of those games, the opponent had tried one or two times before. So it's not like it was the first time every time that the opponent just went down and scored. But they're losing games at the buzzer against a supposed defense guru. I know some people we both know well, and some other football people really bothered by Zimmer taking the timeouts. And I guess we can say, considering what happened, it didn't work. I personally didn't have a problem with the timeouts. I just couldn't understand what he was trying to do after taking the timeouts.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem. If he felt like, you know, we got a bad situation here, bad coverage or whatever, make sure you guys know what they're doing. I was more bothered by just the plan. The timeout, I'm writing for my Football Across the Zone thing. There was five things that Zimmer did yesterday that just absolutely baffled me. And that was clearly one of them, and the pass rush was another. But I didn't have a real problem with him taking timeouts, because I'd always rather, you could say maybe Detroit was a little hurried or whatever. But to me, mm-hmm. I'd rather have all my guys on the same plan and know what the plan is. I just thought the plan was terrible, the way they approached it.
Yeah. What else are you writing about tomorrow about Zimmer that made no sense?
Well, the shuffling the offensive line. So you take your worst offensive lineman and move him to the most important position.
Help.
So you're affecting three positions instead of one. Like, is Rashawn Hill even on the roster anymore? Like, I don't get that. I don't understand that. And if Ole Udo is your best option, then that's an indictment on Rick Spielman's roster. The fourth down gamble at the end of the first half, they were not – okay, it's fourth and 10 at the 42. The third down play, they threw it like 25 yards down the field. If you're pretty close to field goal range, just do a short intermediate pass and try to get in field goal range if you're going to go – or do something even more high percentage if you're going to try to go for a fourth. But to do – take a deep shot and then go for it on fourth, that made absolutely no sense. You basically gave him 3 points by the failed fourth down attempt there.
And
those five things.
Okay. I think you may have forgotten one, and I'll just add it. I have to ask him about his math. Does he get 2 point conversions?
The chasing point. I'm sorry, the fifth one was chasing points early in the
halfway through the third quarter.
So Madison's touchdown made it 20-15. It was 6 minutes and I think 13 seconds left.
That's 13
way
seconds.
Too early.
Yep.
Yeah, way too early to start chasing points.
Correct.
Way too early, because then and then they compounded it with just two awful plays, which Zimmer admitted afterwards. He called out Kubiak on that. But it's like when you start chasing there and you fail, now you set yourself. You have to keep chasing them, and so. I thought he started chasing points way too early. So that was the fifth one. That was the other thing I didn't like.
Did the same thing the week before. Same thing. Learned nothing and did the same thing. Okay. How about Detroit when it's 23-21, there's four and change left. They're fairly deep in their own territory. And Dan Campbell is going to show us how macho and tough his team is. By going for it and fourth down, and they get no yards. What is he thinking?
You know what the thing is, Chad? When I saw that they were going for it, I said, you know what? You have zero wins. You're 0-2. I didn't like the play call. Like, if you just need inches, I know they failed earlier on the QB sneak. I would have tried it again, because at that point you're like, he's probably thinking if we give the ball back, they're going to go down and score, which they did, and he felt like that was his one chance to maybe try to bleed the clock. Because the play call was just atrocious, this slow developing. You're putting the ball in Jared Goff's hands, who has been awful up to that point. I just didn't understand that at all. The thinking about, okay, go for it and forward an inches there with a team that hasn't won a game in forever, I didn't mind that, because what do you have to lose? But it's the play call was just horrendous.
See, a lot of people say exactly what you said. Exactly. You know what you have to lose? The game. I still think you have to play the game the way it's the stats tell you, and also the team you have. You don't have much of a running game. You're not doing much. The Vikings do have Tomlinson and Pierce. It's kind of the one thing on defense they have going, those big two fat guys. So I was baffled by that. So
I can see that. I can see that point, yeah. I mean, even though if you haven't won, you're still trying to win, you know, do the best percentages to win. But I don't know. I probably just felt like he was thinking if they get the ball back, they're gonna come down and score, yeah. Which I can see why he was thinking that too.
Okay, so Chip Scoggins with us, Star Tribune Football Across Minnesota. Be online on the Tribune this evening and the paper tomorrow. So let's get to the bigger part. You know me. I'm not one says, hey, this guy's got to be fired. This guy's got to be fired. But I just reached a point yesterday, and we've had these conversations for a while now. Where are they really going?
Yeah.
Zimmer's competent. Spielman's competent. You're not going to have ineptitude. This isn't Tim Brewster territory. This isn't David Kahn. But they've reached a point where, to quote Denny, they are who we thought they were, right? They're just kind of stuck in the middle. And if they keep them, I don't think they're ever really, really going to bottom out. But I don't think they're ever going to go anywhere. And plenty's on Spielman, too. That defense needs a significant infusion of young talent. They've got some young talent on offense. They really do. Chip, I think it's time when the year ends, you have a very professional conversation with both of them and say, we wish you only the best. You're both going to get hired, but it's time to bring in a new crew.
Yeah, and there's, you know, the dialogue now is whether it's just going to be Zimmer gets fired, is it going to be a package? To me, if you're going to do it, and it, all signs are starting to point that way, I think it just needs to be a complete overhaul.
I do too.
Philosophical, coaching, everything. Yesterday was not exactly a great showing for their depth on defense. That's not a Zimmer
terrible
problem. That's a Spielman problem, right?
Yes.
So you're without five starters and you look that bad against the Lions. That's not your depth really showing up. And so I think there's been a number of personnel issues that fall back on the management more than the coaching. And it just, like, when you look at this team and the way they respond in just some critical situations, like, if you watched that yesterday, you wouldn't say that's a well-coached team right
nope.
now.
Nope.
I mean, uh-uh. It's just, and you're right. And I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Is like, if you're the Wills, you just have to sit down and say, we've had this group together. We've had some success. Went to the NFC Championship game. We've been mm-hmm. playoffs. We've been relevant. But where is it going? You know, where is this headed to? And I just don't think if you're honest with yourself, if you ask that question, that you're going to get the answer that you like or that you need to hear.
I wrote down a bunch of the draft misses for Spielman, and we just, shockingly, I don't have enough time for it. But just go back the last 3-4 years. And sure, Justin Jefferson. And maybe Darrisaw is going to be, who knows, very good, maybe not great. And there's others. But, Chip, there's a lot of misses for mm-hmm. Rick Spielman the last 4 or 5 years. So you nailed it. Anybody who says this is just on Zimmer, yeah, there's plenty on Zimmer. But where are the consistent Danielle Hunters and Everson Griffins and Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barrs and Harrison Smiths on defense? Because that infusion of defensive talent has not happened for multiple years.
Well, and then, you know, you had to get rid of a first-round pick because of off-the-field issues. Now, you say,
yep.
Is that his fault? Did he not do enough diligence? They did, and it just happens. I would go back to the Barr signing, Chad. I mean, that signing yep. looks really bad now. When he was out going out the door and they, you know, begged him to come back, and people can say, well, that's a Zimmer. You know, Zimmer forced him to do that. Well, Rick Spielman's the boss. He can say no.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, he's in charge of the roster. He can say no. He has veto power. And so, I mean, that signing now, it looks like a terrible signing, you know? And so they talked about this roster being top heavy with talent, and that's true. But that really puts pressure on you to fill out the bottom part with really good draft picks and hit on them, and there's just been too many misses. And that's why we heard Zimmer from day one of training camp talk about his concerns about the depth of the team, and he's right.
Excellent, as always. I'll look forward to tonight checking out Star Tribune with Football Across Minnesota, and we'll talk next Monday, if not sooner.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Chip Scoggins, we are so fortunate to have him on. What do we got going tomorrow? We're going to tell you in just a couple minutes. Lindis Construction can help you out in so many ways. It's 256. That's the Lindis Construction time check, including your gutters. You got clogged gutters. You worried about what's going to happen this winter? Check out Andy Lindis and his fantastic company. If you listen to this show at all, you know I try to speak as highly of Paige Beckers as I can, from seeing her when she was a kid, when I was going to YZ just to see my kid, and also seeing Paige in, geez, was it, I forget now, was it either 8th or 9th grade, and going, who is that? And also having somebody tell me that Gino Auriemma, who's the greatest women's basketball coach ever, has been telling people he trusts for a year plus that when it's all done, she's going to be the best player ever out of UConn. Not Maya Moore, not Diana Taurasi. The Paige will be the best player and maybe the best women's basketball player ever. And you watch her, she's brilliant. Plays the game the right way, does not have a weakness. I've watched college and pro coaches for decades in basketball. So paranoid about losing the lead, keep their star players on late when it's completely unnecessary. That's what Gino did yesterday. I got it. People can get injured anytime. But Paige is on the floor. They're up 18 over Notre Dame. Great team. But they're up 18 with 38 seconds to go and a non-contact injury. Paige gets hurt. I got it. Could have happened in practice. Could have happened in close game. It didn't. Coaches need to come to their senses. It's nonsense. So only the best to Paige Beckers, who has a chance to be just a historic basketball figure. And by all accounts, is just a great person. We got to go. The Paul and Jordana Show is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.